Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join the madness.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 748.
Today we hear from Indiana Jim, who asks,
"Hey Dan, you tend to write sprawling epics with multiple point of view characters. I find that I struggle for momentum when I'm trying to think of not only what happens next, but with whom. What are your strategies for dealing with this kind of multi-threaded project?"
Well, for me, it's actually harder to write a single point of view. My early books were all multiple point of view characters, and in recent years I've gone more towards single point of view characters simply because it's more difficult for me. The reason that multi-point of view is easier is that if you get stuck on one storyline, you can jump to another one, and then come back and do time jumps and all sorts of cheap tricks to keep the story moving along. So, I don't find it's difficult to keep them straight, usually, unless I've got a bunch of my point of view characters in the same place at the same time, or working on different aspects of the same situation at the same time. I find it's a lot easier. I mean, the storytelling latitude you have with multiple points of view is just stunning. And having the freedom to jump out when you get stuck and go into someone else's head and keep things moving, it's glorious. I wish I had it on the book that I'm working on right now, frankly, and I don't, and it's made the last couple of chapters that I've been writing really tough. So I'm really missing my days of multiple points of view. Now, you say you're struggling to find momentum. I don't know if this will translate. If you think of your story like a movie, when you come to what happens next and you've got multiple points of view, the way that you pick the point of view for that scene is actually pretty straightforward. First of all, if there's only one person who's in that position and place in space and time, that's the person who gets the scene. Or you invent someone new for it. Or, if you've got a little bit of latitude, you look for who is the least prepared to deal with what's about to happen, and you put them in the scene. You make them the point of view character because it'll push their buttons, it will stress them as a character, that gets you automatic, instant reader investment, and it just makes everything easier. Because you don't have to put so much work into scaling the stakes to your characters because you've got a bunch of different characters who are scaled to a variety of sorts of stakes, and so you just move the stakes around to match the characters. So don't worry about who to put where, let the story tell you who to put where. And, I mean, this is one of those rare times when I'll say, choose the path of least resistance for you as a writer, which, of course, means the path of most resistance for your characters. But it's way easier to just pick the weakest character for whatever that scene deals with and put them in that scene than it is to be going along with a character and realizing that, oh, shoot, five things have to happen here for the story to work, but my character is beyond them, so how am I going to generate conflict? You do enough of that and you become Damon Lindelof, that's no good. You never want your plot to be dictating the actions of your characters. You want the plot to be forcing your characters to rise to an occasion, or to fail to rise to the occasion and thus blow everything up. But you never want to be in the position where things have to happen in order to make the story work, and so you're just kind of moving the scenery around and hoping that nobody notices that your characters aren't really into what's going on. So having multiple characters that you can swap points of view on means that when you're at a problematic place where character A is really too advanced for the challenge before them, you can go into the head of character B, for whom that situation is really difficult. You can even have them in the same scene, and character B can totally misinterpret what character A is doing in the worst possible way. So character B thinks that character A is way out of their depth, when in fact it's character B that's way out of their depth. You can play all sorts of games like that And the net result is you never have a drop in your story momentum. The rhythm and flow of the symphony continues to go, even though your bassoons aren't playing here and your trumpets aren't playing there, and here they're all playing together. That's what a symphony does. Study orchestral music, and you can cross-apply a lot of things straight from the way that composers use different instruments to the way that you, as a writer, use different characters. So, yeah, I guess that's that. Thanks very much for the question, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.